To be able to worship the God of all life is a gift filled with joy. Let us stand as we are able to begin our service in praise and thanksgiving with the words of the call to worship. No matter how far we wander from you, no matter how unjust the world seems to us, no matter how vulnerable our lives seem to us, no matter how unloved and uncared for we feel, thanks be to God. Our first hymn is hymn number 263. God created each of us and made us good. God has blessed each of us with spiritual gifts worth riches untold. Yet God did not make us perfect, and we have not always used them in the best ways possible. Let us stand and face God as we remember who we are allowed. God, you have given each of us many gifts. God, you remind us that all gifts are needed.
But sometimes we let ourselves be convinced that some gifts are more special than others.
God, you call us to work, to live, to love together as parts of one body.
But sometimes we decide that membership in the body is limited by our understanding.
God, for the times we have ignored or mislabeled your gifts, for those times we have cut another off from the body,
we offer words of repentance. We ask for forgiveness and grace.
We are assured of who we are. God is indeed the giver of many gifts, and God is the creator, not just of each of us, but of the one body, Christ's body. Our God is slow to anger and quick to forgive, and God helps us share and honor the gifts of all. In doing so, God helps us to heal the wounds and reunite Christ's body on earth. Friends, you can rejoice, for in giving Christ to the world, God has given us the greatest of all possible gifts, and this is the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, loved, and accepted. Friends, may the peace of the Lord of Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. You may be seated. Lord, open our eyes and open our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Our gospel reading this morning is found in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that of you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had been that become wine and did not know where it had come from, even though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana in Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Olivia, do you want to come up today or not? It's your call. Okay. Come on in. It's good to see you. How have you been?
Good.
Yeah? What's happening?
Well, I have been trying to figure out how to keep my cat from
That's a tough problem. But I think we probably shouldn't share that with everybody. Is it okay with you if I take my mask off? Okay. Whew, now people can hear me when I talk. Well, the second reading comes to us from Paul's pen. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And this is the beginning of a very long conversation in his letter, two or three chapters worth, about gifts. Gifts. Listen now for God's word to God's people. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Christmas may be over, but it seems we are still in a season of gifting. At least here at church. You see, Lou just read John's story of Jesus' gift to a family who's hosting a wedding, but back then, and as now, the host wanted to honor the bride and groom as well as their guests by offering a post-ceremony feast. Of course, fine food and drink were part of the event. Weddings are, after all, a celebration of life during a momentous transition. It's the time when the couple's families share their joy over their children's nuptials, which promise to continue the well-being of the entire community. In effect, like marriage itself, the wedding feast was a gift offered up to the people the families cared about. And because these events were gifts, hosts always worked to provide the best their money could afford, especially when it comes to wine. Guests were to know they were being honored when they tasted top drawer vintage at the feast. Not expressing your concern for their comfort and their enjoyment, was shameful. Of course, once the guests understood how appreciated they were, the less expensive stuff could be decanted to keep the party flowing onward and crazier. Now, somehow the calculation of how much wine to have on hand for this wedding was entirely off. So to save the host from embarrassment, from shame, Jesus' mom asks her son to do what he can to help out. The result was a gift so impressive, the head butler made a point of telling the groom. You know, Jesus does always seem to give the best of gifts. And I suspect we all want to offer the best gifts possible to those we care about, which can be challenging. For instance, I don't know my new niece and her family very well, but I do love them, and I wanted to show them I care with special Christmas gifts, gifts that would delight them. But puzzling that out? That was difficult. No wonder Santa likes to get a wish list letter from kids. As people of faith, we believe our Creator has given each of us a gift too. These gifts aren't like the fingerless alpaca mitts that I gave to Jenny, which thankfully she loves. These are more basic. They're all the tools and talents we'll need to get through the life we are living. Just think, God gave us hearts that beat. And with each pulse, molecules of nourishment are pushed through our arteries via the liquid we call blood, another gift from God, so the earthen vessels of our bodies can function properly. Now that is quite a gift. Some of us have great balance as well as the ability to turn quickly on our feet. So those folks become hockey goalies or ballerinas who can express feelings as if floating in thin air. And voices and language with which to communicate to each other are other God-given gifts to singers and statesmen. Some people have even been given the ability to work out mathematical calculations, and I am not one of them. Thankfully, though, there are folks who can help us balance our checkbooks or figure out, as was in the movie Hidden Figures, I guess, how to get John Glenn into orbit. Now, when we give a gift to someone, it tells of who we consider that receiver to be in our lives. Our gifts also tell others about the kind of relationship the giver and the receiver share. And God's gifts are like that too. All of these things I've named tell the world about who we are as people. We're scientists. We're singers. We're statesmen. We're human. And God has given us gifts so that we can thrive. For God honors that which God created and wants us to live well and to use the gifts we've received for good. But no one is given everything she or he needs to live the full life that God intends. For that to happen, we need to share our gifts with other people. We fill their needs, they fill ours. And by sharing ourselves, by working together for everyone's good, we create a wholeness that can be described as shalom, the peace of life which God hopes for. God wants our relationships to be based on the honor with which God bestowed our first gifts. And when that happens, when we honor other people as full images of God, we are telling the world we share an honorable relationship with our Creator. Kind of like the relationship Jesus was telling the world about when he gave the host a face-saving gift of wine from water. But in our Corinthians reading today, Paul begins this conversation about the form of gift that I've not talked about yet, spiritual gifts. These gifts often lie hidden behind the more obvious physical or academic capabilities that I did list. We can easily see a child's batting ability in the little leagues, or hear the voices of little girls singing lullabies to their dollies. But how often do we really hear wisdom from the mouths of babes? And when do we see little ones heal broken bodies, let alone broken souls? Most gifts of the Holy Spirit are seeds, which are present at our birth, but lie dormant until it is their time. Perhaps that his gifts were still somewhat dormant is what Jesus meant when he said to his mother, "My hour has not yet come." Perhaps. Now, I'm not sure just how these gifts begin to show themselves to the receiver or the world. The whole process is a holy mystery to me. But in time, someone's knowledge or wisdom or healing abilities begin to unfurl and unfold before our very eyes. They certainly do in Jesus as the gospel stories are unveiled to us. Now, Paul says we all receive spiritual gifts. But like the more obvious gifts, no one receives them all. It's like God loves all of God's creation, so gives all of us something special. Paul also said, it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. The manifestations of the Spirit? Tough word, manifestations. The paraphrase Bible, the Message, actually says it so we can really understand it. He says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. Not only do we all receive spiritual gifts, everyone is to benefit from their use. We can be wise or faithful. We can work miracles or speak prophecy. But we do so for the good of all, just as did Jesus. And that is important for us to hear today. For today, we are ordaining Bill Miska to serve as ruling elder. And we are installing to service as ruling elder Lou Sidwell, Maggie Nussbaum, and Dale Vandenbark. You all have called them to a ministry that benefits everyone, a ministry that strengthens and nurtures the faith of this congregation through the exercise of leadership, government, spiritual discernment, and discipline. And I'm getting that straight from the Book of Order. Now, they are not being asked to simply administrate programs of the church. Nurturing faith and spiritual discernment are far removed from making sure X, Y, and Z get done efficiently. These men and women are to be the spiritual leaders of this congregation on questions we face as we seek to be Christ's body here, here in this time and in this place. They are to look at the road ahead of us to find the best paths for all of us to follow on our journey with Jesus. With prayer, their wisdom, knowledge, and faith will no longer rest in dormancy, but instead be unfurled and put to good use. They may even find themselves working miracles or speaking prophetically. In addition, you've called Anna and Joe Johnson and Charlene Noland and Mary Flanagan and Marilyn Royer to ministries of service to this congregation and the greater community, installed as deacons. Spiritual gifts that may be unexpected or simply unused will unfold from them, for they are being called to exercise gifts such as compassion, faith-filled love, and sound judgment for the good of the poor, the hungry, the sick, the lost, the friendless, and anyone in distress. By sharing these gifts, they will offer life to the church and community. These ruling elders and deacons will find themselves using both their ordinary and their spiritual gifts for the common good of the congregation and of God's world, along with their colleagues, elders Hinda Ardrey and Lou Lemaster and Mindy Patterson and Ray Menega and Dave Perkey and Clerk Tim Patterson. And the new deacons will work alongside Liz Grimm and Joan Miska and Sally Schumacher and Terry Sidwell and Larry Good, Bev Lemaster, Marcia Mortimer, and Donna and John Myers. Friends, none of us were fully equipped to fulfill our entire ministries alone. We will need to share our gifts so the entire community will not just benefit, but come to the sense of wholeness and peace called shalom that God hopes and wants for us all. Let me say that again. We are to share our gifts so the entire community will come to a sense of wholeness and peace called shalom that God wants for us all. Using his gifts, Jesus was able to relieve the shame of a family during their celebration of life. With his spiritual gifts, Jesus would teach those with ears to hear God's wisdom. He'd heal the sick and feed the poor and work miracles more amazing than turning water into wine. And in so doing, Jesus stood with humanity in honor and gave even the least of these a measure of dignity. My brothers and sisters, whether you are a ruling elder, a deacon, or an everyday follower of Jesus, I pray that you will live in an ever-present season of giving as you use the ordinary and the spiritual gifts with which God has given you blessings in ways that honor not just those with whom you share them, but in ways that honor Jesus Christ. For then, your faith journey will lead you to God's shalom. Amen.
Please turn to page 435 with me. When I was singing through this, I believe you do know this hymn. It's been a while since we've sung it, but I do believe you know it. So I'll let Kathy play it.
And I would like for you all to distribute yourselves with some decent distancing between you because it's a big group for the front, okay? Lou, come on up. Let's see if this works. Charlene, you need to come forward. And Mary, you need to come forward too. Varieties of gifts, but it's the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. Our common calling is to be disciples and servants of our Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to service as deacons, as elders, and to ensure that Christ's ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world, and for ordering the governance of the church.
Representing the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the session of Trinity United Presbyterian Church now ordains and installs to service as ruling elder Bill Miska and installs to service Maggie Nussbaum, Lou Sidwell, and Dale Vandenbark. We are also installing today Mary Flanagan and Charlene Nolan as deacons.
To turn from sin and renew your commitment to Christ. All are reminded to bear gladly the yoke of Christ given in the covenant of baptism. I have questions for the ruling elders and the deacons together at this time. Please answer. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, I do. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say, I do. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If so, say, you will. You are children of God and have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Remember that grace always and be thankful. Let us now together, all the congregation, state what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. And now I have more questions for those standing before me. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledging him as Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed and Presbyterian faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, say, I do and I will.
I do and I will.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you be governed by our church's polity? And will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among
working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit. If so, say, I will. Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? If so, say, I will. Do you promise to further the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church? If so, say, I do. This is my favorite. Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? If so, say, I will. Bill, Maggie, Lou, and Dale, this is for you. Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will. And for Bill, Maggie, Lou, and Dale again, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in... You know what? We've just done that. Okay, so for Mary and for Charlene, I have a question. Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I will.
Do we, the members of the church, accept Bill, Maggie, Lou, and Dale as ruling elders, and Mary and Charlene as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, state, we do. Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church?
Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you all thanks and praise. Throughout the ages, you have been faithful to your covenant people, whom you have called out of bondage and redeemed to be your own. We thank you for men and women in every age who have nurtured your people in faith and faithfulness. Above all, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Anointed by your Spirit, he proclaimed your reign on earth, revealing your saving love in all he said and did. Will those of you who have been ordained as ruling elder please rise in your seats as you are able? We cannot truly lay on hands, but your stance demonstrates your support. O gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, Lou and Dale, Maggie, and especially Bill, whom you called through baptism and marked as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that they may show his compassion in daily life and rightly govern your people. Give them the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. Give your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope,
humility, honor, humor, courage, and an abiding sense of your presence.
Gracious God, pour out your spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we might be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain this congregation in ministry. Ground us in the gospel. Secure our hope in Christ. Strengthen our service to the outcast and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Maggie, Lou, Dale, you are installed as ruling elders for this church. Bill, you are now ordained and installed as a ruling elder. Charlene, Mary, you are installed as deacons in this church, the Church of Jesus Christ, and for this congregation. I admonish you all to be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. The Lord has called you to labor in the ministry of the church, so go out and serve. We have much to be grateful for, new elders, new deacons. We have much to thank God for, to praise God for, to share with God our joys, our concerns is a privilege and an honor. Let us pray. O gracious God, the prophet Isaiah reminds us that your love for Zion, indeed, all your family is full of passion and patience. You fight for us when we turn away from you. Such love leads us in wonder and calls us back to you in hope. For such an outpouring, we are forever humbled, forever grateful. We are also grateful for this day in which you reveal your glory to all the world. The brisk breezes and blue skies, which might just yet fill with snow clouds, are a blessing. Such cold makes us ever more grateful for the inventions of warming furnaces and even car heaters. These are gifts of your love and crafted for our benefit by minds and hands that you inspire. We thank you for them all. Thank you, too, for bringing us together this day to remind us that we are your people, whom you have gifted with strength and love to pour out on people in need, just as Jesus poured out his love by turning water into flowing wine for wedding guests. We know we are all guests in your world, and so we ask that you help us to act as graciously to all we meet, just as Jesus did. O Lord, today we pray for our leaders. Guide them in ways that benefit the people of this nation instead of rigidly refusing to find common ground with one another that might lead to common good. We pray for leaders of the world, especially of Ukraine and Russia. Help them turn swords into plowshares and walk away from the thought of battle. Hear us as we pray for all who suffer grief or sickness of any kind. We especially pray for those who are delivering medical attention to those sick enough to need to be in hospital. Give them rest and strength and courage to meet the demands of these times. And we pray, too, for those among us who have been in hospital or are facing diagnostic or other procedures designed to repair broken bodies. Give them a sense of your peace, that all will go well on the appointed day and throughout their recovery time. O Lord, we pray, too, for those who are nearing the ends of their lives, who are not recovering. Give them grace that they may join you in dignity and in hope that the room you have prepared for them will be ready when the time has come. And we pray for those who lack the essentials of life, be it food or water, electricity, or even shelter from the coming storm. May you work through us to better provide for them in their time of need. We remember that Jesus worked his first sign of your glory at a wedding, the time when a new family came into being. So we pray for all families, be they brand new or burnished with time, be they husbands and wives or folks who simply promise to live together for mutual support and love, especially if they share in the raising of children, and even if they have no children. Show each how they might use their gifts to bless others in their circle of life. O Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers and help us to use our gifts for the good of all, as Jesus used his for the guests at Cana, and who used his gift of teaching to share with the disciples the prayer which we recite and hold dear in our hearts now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Sing hymn number 464, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Thank you.
fellowship hall because the deacons have provided for our nourishment. Earlier we sang, we all are one in mission. We all are one in call. Our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. A single great commission compels us from above to plan and work together that all may know Christ's love. Go out into the world to live, verse 1 of We All Are One in Mission. For we have been called to serve in his name. But go knowing that you do not do ministry by yourself. You have all of Christ's followers to share, to join with, and to lift praises to God with. And that God will surely provide you grace on your journey. Christ will provide love, and the Holy Spirit will gather us in communion with our God each and every day.